Brian Laundrie may be dead, but his story is still a mystery. Tonight, his lawyer joins me live for tough questions about this blockbuster case. Steve Bertolino, one-on-one. What did the Laundries know and when did they know it? And why were there so many inconsistencies between the family and the police? And later, real death, real pain, and very real questions in the land of make-believe. Tonight, a walkout by crew members over safety on the set of Alec Baldwin's film. Just hours before, the star and the producer fired a deadly shot from a prop gun while rehearsing for the movie. Welcome to Banfield. When the manhunt for Brian Laundrie ended, a whole new chapter in this saga began. The questions that have been so confounding. Why did Brian leave his fiance in Wyoming? What was his state of mind before he left home for the reserve? And what, if any, role did he play in the death of Gabby Petito? Fortunately, I'm joined by the man who has a lot of those answers, possibly, the attorney for the Laundrie family, Stephen P. Bertolino. Mr. Bertolino, thank you so much for joining us. I know that you've known the family for decades, so this is an emotional time for them, probably for you as a friend, but you're also, you know, their attorney, so I'm very thankful that you're here to answer questions on their behalf. And I'd like to just start with the simple. When did you become involved with the Laundrie family as their attorney pertaining to this particular case?
Yes, good evening, Ashley, and thank you for having me. I would say that was on September 11th.
So you didn't speak with Brian or Roberta or Chris between September 1st, when he arrived back in Florida, and September 11th, 10 days later?
I can tell you I didn't say that. What I can tell you is any conversations I had with Brian, Chris, and Roberta would be privileged and confidential. What you asked me was, when did I become involved for this particular case? And it was on September 11th.
So then presumably before September 11th, if you had conversations with them, say September 1st to September 11th, those 10 days, those would not be privileged because you hadn't been retained as counsel?
Well, that's not true either, because I've been the Laundrie family attorney for, you know, well over 20 years. So any conversations I have with them with respect to legal matters would be privileged and confidential.
So when Brian came home to Northport on the 1st, as is evidenced by a card reader, a license plate reader, seeing the white van coming home, how did you have your first engagement with the family? Was it a family meeting? Was it a conference call? Like, how did you first connect with them after he had returned?
Again, any conversation I've had with Chris, Roberta, and Brian, you know, was by telephone. But you know, the dates and what we discussed are all attorney-client privileged and confidential. And you know, I'm sorry to say that I can't speak about those things.
Counselor, I fully understand that you cannot reveal those privileged engagements, the content within. I'm just sort of going around the contours of it, if you'd allow me to. And that is that I'm just curious about, because you're, as I understand it, I'm talking to you in Long Island, correct?
That's correct.
And the Laundries have always been in Northport.
No, they haven't always been in Northport. They lived on Long Island for many years. I don't know exactly how many years they've moved down to Florida.
Sure. Understand. I just mean for the purpose of this particular engagement, say from September 1st on, you did not go to Northport to engage with them. You really had to do this from afar.
That's correct. Everything has been, you know, by telephone, text message, or FaceTime.
Or sort of these group Zooms. Did you have like the family, you know, group FaceTime or the group Zoom like this?
No, we didn't. We didn't do something like that.
Conference calls?
We've had a couple of conference calls, yes.
And when you had the conference calls, I mean, I'm just thinking of myself as a mother. And if my son were, you know, engaging with our attorney, it would be difficult. And I was curious about how Mrs. Laundrie's reactions were, how she was digesting. And again, you don't have to tell me what you were discussing. I understand that's privilege. But just the reaction, the nature, and the sort of taking all of the information in real time. How did she manage that?
You know, Ashley, I don't want to give you an interview where I can't answer any of your questions, but, you know, it seems like most of the questions you're asking are going to border on the attorney-client confidentiality that I can't answer. If you're asking me, you know, in general, what has been, you know, Roberta Laundrie's, you know, demeanor and disposition over the last 4 or 5 weeks, I can tell you she's been very upset. You know, she's, again, been distraught. And in the last couple of days, she's grieving.
Fully understand. And again, I'm not going to press you on what was said. I'm, again, trying to go around the outside as best I can to get the color, the essence and the feel of what the family was going through in those early days between September 1st and September 11th, when Gabby Petito was declared missing. And even thereafter, up until the 13th, when Brian himself left for the hike and didn't come back. I guess all I'm trying to get a feel for is that the family meeting with you, were the can I put it this way? When you had the family meeting with them via electronics, was it a happy occasion?
You know, often I tell people, as an attorney, I often don't get to deal with that on happy occasions. So, you know, you're using a term happy that I would never use. What I can tell you is every conversation's been serious. Every conversation that I've had, as any attorney would have with their client, you know, doesn't necessarily border on happy. And I don't mean to beat you up on the use of that word. But what I can tell you is I'm not at liberty to discuss anything prior to September 11th. You know, you can ask me many different ways, but I'm going to keep giving you the same answer. You know, all of that is going to be attorney-client privilege. Anything after
without divulging anything they said, were they at least all three of them, you know, able to engage with you and fill you in on their perspectives of anything that you were discussing?
On September 12th and September 13th, yes, absolutely.
All three of them could fill you in on how things were going within the household. Your discussion as a group was, you know, was full and rich, and you could get a feel for what was happening in that household through your conversation with the three of them.
I had private conversations with Brian. I had private conversations with Chris, and I had private conversations with Chris and Roberta separately. I can tell you that, I had an understanding of how the house was functioning at that point in time.
But you didn't have the family together, the family unit together to find out how they were coping as a unit.
There were a couple of conversations where, you know, all, you know, three members of the family in that household were together. Yes.
Okay. So presumably, and what days were those conversations? Because, it's, you know, the mood and the change in what happened and the dynamic of that family is important. What days did you have those conversations where you knew how all three of them were feeling at the same time?
I would say Sunday the 12th and Monday the 13th.
So those are critical, critical days. Can you tell me the demeanor of Brian Laundrie on the 12th and on the 13th? And when I ask you about demeanor, I'd like to try to get specific. Did he seem suicidal?
No. And I literally just spoke to the family, Chris and Roberta, maybe 45 minutes ago. And, you know, we repeated this conversation or that question. And, you know, Brian was not, you know, outwardly suicidal. And what Mrs. Laundrie, what Roberta just said to me, she goes, you know, how do you really know, you know, what do you really know what somebody's thinking? And, you know, we can suspect what their mood might be, but what do you really know what's going on inside? And I can tell you that, you know, Brian was alert. He was coherent. You know, when he was speaking with me, I had no inclination or indication that he would hurt himself.
I have heard you say on other interviews just in the last 24 hours that he was grieving. And anyone who is grieving is sad over death. Was he sad over the death of Gabby Petito when he was grieving prior to going out on his hike, which from which he did not return?
And Ashley, as I've said, you know, all day long, because I know I've been getting heat on the use of that word. Yesterday was a very long day. The day before that was a long day. One of the last interviews I gave of the evening, which was a last minute thing, I used the word grieving, which I had been using all day long with respect to Chris and Roberta and the news of the death of their son. I clarified that. I said he was upset. He was distressed. Chris described him to me as he was leaving. And this was several weeks later when Chris and I were talking about it. He said, Steve, you know, he was upset. He was distressed. I knew I shouldn't let him walk out the door, but I couldn't stop him. You know, I used the term grieving. It was probably a poor choice of words. And everybody has pounced on that and said, well, what was he grieving? Who was he grieving? You know, grieving was, you know, used by myself multiple times yesterday with respect to Chris and Roberta. And it was a poor choice of words to be using for Brian.
So did Brian know that Gabby was dead at that point?
I can't answer that question. You know what Brian knew or didn't know would be privileged. It would be confidential and, you know, certainly not something I can discuss now.
And respectfully, Counselor, I understand your privilege, but as a journalist, I do have to ask, did Brian kill Gabby?
You know, that's it's a tough question to answer other than no. To my knowledge, you know, I can't say that he did or didn't. I'm sure the FBI may be able to fill those answers in at a different time.
Do Chris and Roberta Laundrie know if their son killed Gabby?
I can't comment on that either. I mean, what Brian told, you know, when I say I can't comment, you know, you're asking me what the parents knew, what their son told them. I do not know.
You have mentioned in other interviews that there will be time as, you know, we move ahead in this story for more questions to be answered, perhaps more secrets to be revealed. Clearly, there's no exposure for the youngest member of the family that you represent. He is no longer, he can no longer be tried for anything, even posthumously. So there's zero exposure other than legacy for Brian Laundrie. For that reason, how long will it be until you can actually tell us these things?
You know, as I said, you know, there are some unanswered questions. There are some issues that need to be resolved. You know, there are, you know, charges out there still in Wyoming. There are certain things that I even discussed with the FBI today with respect to Chris and Roberta that still have to be resolved. There's been a lot of accusations. There's been a lot of finger pointing. And, you know, those issues will be resolved in the coming days, weeks, or months, however long it takes. You know, this is just wrapping up in the last 48 to 72 hours, and we're going to need some more time to work through this.
Mr. Bertolino, what do you expect is going to be found in the notebook? Because the Northport police are saying that it is indeed salvageable.
I have no idea what's in the notebook. You know, to my knowledge, the notebook was something that was maybe on the trip. I've heard many different things about this notebook. You know, I don't know if Brian wrote a suicide note or if he wrote a goodbye note. I don't know if it was just a notebook that contained drawings. We'll have to wait and see what's in there.
Mr. Bertolino, is it possible we might see a confession in that notebook?
Again, Ashley, I don't know what's in the notebook. The, you know, the FBI may disclose what they find in there. They may not.
You are one of the last three people who spoke with him prior to him leaving with that notebook and a backpack and a dry bag. Based on his demeanor, and I'm not asking you to reveal what he said, based on his demeanor, would it surprise you if there were a confession in that notebook?
You know, after the way this case has played out, I don't think anything would surprise me. At this point, you know, even the fact that the Laundries, Chris and Roberta, are the ones who happened to find the items and the location of the remains, everybody seems to be suspect on that. There have been so many twists and turns in this saga. You know, I don't think anything would surprise me.
Do I take that as a no? It would not surprise you if there were a confession in that notebook?
I'll stick by my original comment, which is, you know, nothing's going to surprise me in this case.
You may be bolstered to know that the Northport police back up this notion that Chris and Roberta simply stumbled upon the dry bag and the notebook within about a 30 to 45 minute walk, whereby the authorities and millions of dollars of the highest tech equipment could do nothing of the sort in 38 days. For the public, it's confounding, and you have to respect just how the magnitude of the coincidence. The Northport police is saying it's also coincidental. But do you know any other information that would prove otherwise, that it is not coincidental?
You know, literally before this interview, I was on the phone with somebody who, you know, has more information about that than I do. The cameraman that was there that filmed this, you know, I have thanked the police for being there. I have thanked the cameraman for being there. And yeah, I do understand that the public says this is confounding. It's unbelievable. But everybody who's been there and everybody who has firsthand knowledge comes back and says the same thing. This is the beginning of the beginning of the preserve. This is where Brian was known to hike. If he went into that preserve and did something to hurt himself, and maybe he did it right away, you know, it would be expected that he would be found there. So, you know, as coincidental as you say it is, it really is not such a far stretch to say that if Brian did in fact go to the preserve to hurt himself, you know, and he did it right away, it makes perfect sense that that's where it is. The park was underwater. I'm sorry.
Sorry to interrupt. Do you know if he took any kind of medications out with him in the backpack or in the dry bag that might have contained any sort of substances that would have helped him in a quest to commit suicide?
I have no knowledge of any substances whatsoever, either prescribed or otherwise.
Do you have any knowledge of the contents of the dry bag or the backpack?
Not at all. And, you know, to my understanding, the parents, Chris and Roberta, didn't know what was in the bag, the backpack, when Brian left the house. You know, I believe we were asked that question on September 17th. And, you know, Chris and Roberta said they didn't know what he put in the backpack. You know, he just, you know, had the backpack packed and said, I'm going out for a hike.
To that end, I want to talk a little bit about the timing of all of it, because the press sort of, you know, felt a little yanked around, as did the police, with the timing of when, you know, Brian went on his hike. Originally, it was Tuesday the 14th, and then late into this whole ordeal, it became Monday. I heard you speak on Chris Cuomo's program the other day, suggesting that you, in fact, were the person to call the FBI and notify them the next day after he didn't return, which would be Tuesday, correct?
So it is correct that I notified the FBI, and, you know, you'll have to forgive me because the days were blending together. And, you know, I spoke to the FBI just today on that issue again. And, you know, the FBI confirmed it is well documented on their side that it was Thursday. And, you know, I was reminded that I specifically said, you know, Brian didn't come home, you know, tonight. You know, would you come home, you know, having all the press and everything else going on out there. The confusion initially was Chris and Roberta were telling me it was Tuesday, and Tuesday night Chris went out to look for him. It was Wednesday that Chris and Roberta went to look and hiked a little bit in the preserve, and it was Thursday that they retrieved the car. We then received some information from press that indicated that they had video of the car in the driveway on Wednesday. So we had to go back with Chris and Roberta step by step of each day. They had been in their home every day. The days were blending together. It was very stressful. And when we went through the period and I showed them the video clip of the Mustang on the, I believe it was the 15th, in the driveway, you know, Chris said to me, well, then it had to be Monday. And I went back to the FBI, and the FBI said, yes, you know, we believed it was Monday from the beginning. But we do understand that the days were blending together. So as I said,
but this is my problem, that the days blending together, and I only interrupt because I'm a mother of boys, and if my son had unexpectedly come home from a trip without his fiance, stopped talking, refused to speak to police. She's reported missing. He is, in your, as you said, mistaken characterization, grieving. I mean, that tells me that he is apoplectically sad. As you mischaracterized it as grieving, it is, at the very least, horrifically sad. And he walks out my door and doesn't come home. I do not forget that date. That date is etched in my mind as a mother, and I dare say that my children's father would feel exactly the same way. So I struggle with any mistake about what day my extremely distraught son went out on a hike and didn't come home.
And that may be true, you know, for everyone. But I would also tend to bet that you haven't been in the position that the laundries have been put in the last 3 to 4 to 5 weeks. And in that week in particular, you know, they were in the house every day. They were going through it. You know, I was relying on the communication they had, but there was no doubt in my mind that I was the one that called the FBI. And, you know, I've had multiple conversations with the FBI, you know, initially. And I even said to the FBI, I said, I know I told you that the night of or the morning after. So I was even hedging my comments because I didn't know in which conversation I had informed them. You know, was it the night of or was it the morning after? And ultimately, in conjunction with the FBI, we all agree that it was Monday the 13th. You know, the proof is in the pudding, if you will. You know, in this case, the reporter showed me that the vehicle was in the driveway on the 15th. The FBI was, you know, saying from the beginning of our conversations with them that it was the 13th. So when we put the sequence of events together, it was the 13th, 14th, and 15th.
And R. Brian Enten asked Josh Taylor of the Northport Police about all of this timeline, and specifically your contention that you notified the FBI that Brian was missing the day after he didn't come home. And I'm just going to ask our control room to play what the Northport Police said today about that to Brian Enten. It was Josh on Brian being reported missing. It's not a flattering depiction of you, and they're flat out saying it's not true. So let me just play this moment for you, and I get you to comment on the other side.
Mr. Bertolino says that he called and reported Brian missing sooner than Friday, and that it was just the official report filed on Friday. Is that true?
I can tell you that the Northport Police Department, that when we got the call on Friday that he was being reported missing, was news to us. I was in the room myself. It was a very surprising moment. I can say that with 100% certainty. Whatever he may have said in passing, you know, this is a situation where we're trying to, you know, they were uncooperative on Saturday, not revealing any details. We've got a missing young lady. Really, their credibility was, you know, what's going on there. He, if I'm understanding him correctly, he says that he may have said something to someone in the FBI. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. What I know is that none of our actions and what we've said show that that's a possibility at all.
So, Mr. Bertolino, they say the police and the FBI have been in lockstep all the way through this and that they would have known had you reported it to the FBI. How do you respond?
So, Ashley, what I just heard, if you listen closely, is that the Northport police gentleman, Josh Taylor, I believe. I don't want to get his name wrong. Is it Mr. Taylor?
Correct.
Okay. So what Mr. Taylor just said was that I purportedly reported it to the FBI. He doesn't know. And therein is your answer. He does not know. I can tell you that the FBI does not have a problem with this. Today at 2:15, I had a meeting with two representatives from the FBI in my office, and they once again concurred and confirmed there is absolutely no doubt that I informed the FBI that Brian didn't come home on day one. Let me tell you something else, Ashley, before you interrupt me again. I did not call anybody on Friday. I heard Mr. Taylor's press conference on Thursday. On Thursday, Mr. Taylor said, when asked a question, do you know where Brian is? He said yes. He was asked a question a little bit later in that same presser, do you know exactly where he is? He said yes. I was shocked. I immediately called my clients and said, do you know where Brian is? Because I don't. We haven't seen him. Was he picked up? Because if he was picked up by the PD, they would have to inform me. And they said no. At that point, I'll disclose this. I reached out to somebody in the afternoon, and I got an ethical opinion as an attorney for Brian Laundry as a missing person, perhaps. What could I do? Once I received that ethical advice, if you will, decisions were made between me and Chris and Roberta. With that knowledge, Friday came. Friday evening, somewhere around 4:45, I received the call from the FBI. Let me be perfectly clear, unequivocally, I received the call from the FBI. I did not call them. It came up on the screen in my truck. I told my daughter she needed to leave the truck. The FBI said to me, we got a tip that Brian was seen in Tampa. And I said, that's wonderful, because as you know, we haven't seen him all week. We told you he was missing. And the FBI agent said, yes, we know that, but we want to come to the house to see if he's there. And I said, well, who gave you the tip? Who said this? Because I thought it was a ruse for the FBI to get into the house, was my belief. I then said to my daughter that I need to take care of this. And I told the FBI that I needed to take care of something with my daughter. We agreed on a time for 6:15. At 6:15, the FBI came to the Laundry residence on the 17th. They came inside. We had discussions. I was here in New York and on FaceTime with them. We agreed that the best course of action and the formal procedural course of action would be to file a missing persons report so that Brian could be located officially, so that they could put the resources into locating him. Somewhere along the line, perhaps someone from the Laundry family household, and it wasn't Chris and Roberta, must have got the paperwork, called it in, got some kind of case number. Whatever they did, I don't know. But that's how it played out. And the FBI...
Was that Cassie?
Excuse me?
Was that Cassie who did that?
Cassie was not in the household at all. There was Chris, Roberta, there was a representative, there was two representatives, I believe, from Northport PD. There was a representative from the FBI and myself on FaceTime. For 2.5 hours, we gave the FBI all the information we had with respect to Brian. The FBI has never had an issue with this. And if you listen closely to that clip that you just played, you will hear Josh Taylor say, Mr. Bertolino or the attorney may have told the FBI, I don't know. And here's the issue. On Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, nobody from the FBI called me and said, have you seen Brian? On Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I did not reach out to the FBI and say, we haven't seen Brian. Because quite frankly, we didn't think he was, quote, missing. He went out for a hike. Brian had packed a bag. He routinely went for hikes for days. And it wasn't thought of that he was missing until Wednesday or Thursday, we started wondering, what do we do? And then Thursday, the events unfolded I just told you about. And then Friday, the events turned around with the FBI coming to the home. That's how it played out.
And so you're just to be clear on this, because it's not. You talked to the FBI and said Brian hasn't returned on Tuesday?
No, I didn't say that.
Wednesday?
No, I didn't say that either. I said on Monday when I reported to the FBI that Brian didn't return home, the next time...
Hold it. Monday, he went on the walk.
That's correct. And he never returned home.
And you're
home.
Saying Monday night? You made a reference to him not returning home, or was it the next day you told the FBI?
What I said to you was that I had multiple conversations with the FBI during, you know, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. I did not recall whether I mentioned it to the FBI on Monday night or Tuesday morning. The FBI confirmed with me that their records reflected that it was Monday night.
So you were talking to the FBI on Sunday, even before he went for the walk. And you were talking to them on Monday before he went for the walk. And you talked to them on Monday after he went for the walk.
Okay, Ashley, you're bringing multiple issues together.
I'm trying to get clarity. That's all. Just details matter on this one.
They do. On Saturday evening into Monday into Sunday morning at 11:30 p.m. on Saturday night, I got the first phone call regarding this matter. At 1:30 in the morning on Sunday was the first phone call from the FBI on this matter. At 8 a.m. on Sunday was the next phone call from the FBI on this matter. It was a different agent. It was on the initial introduction, if you will, of this case. On Monday, two FBI agents came to my office to introduce themselves and to discuss this case. On Monday evening, and or in my recollection, Tuesday morning, I reported to the FBI in a normal conversation that Brian didn't return. Upon going back and forth with the FBI on the actual conversation in which that was reported, the FBI confirms that it was Monday the 13th that their records reflect that I told them that Brian didn't come home that night. On Tuesday, On Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, there was zero communication with respect to where is Brian between me and the FBI and the FBI and myself.
It's all just surprising because Josh Taylor said today they were in lockstep with the FBI all the way along. Even the Northport police chief tweeted out, get us an interview with your client
you
on
wrong.
The following Wednesday.
No,
but that's what they told us today.
Play the clip you just played and let's listen again where he says, I do not know. Because that's what he says, Ed.
I'm telling you, they told out Brian Enten today it's a 15-minute interview, sir. It's a 15-minute interview, and they said that they've been operating in lockstep with the FBI all the way along.
Okay, play the clip you played a moment ago, and let's listen to him say, okay. I don't know.
You know what? We're going to wrap that clip
clarity,
up.
Ashley.
We absolutely 100%. Clarity. That's why you're here. 100%, and we're going to rack that clip up. It takes a minute or so. I'm going to go to break, get the control room to do it, and after the break, we'll play it, and we'll get the clarity on that. Is that okay, Mr. Bertolino?
That's fine with me.
Okay, we'll see you in just a few minutes. We are back with Stephen Bertolino, the attorney for the Laundry family. And Mr. Bertolino, the clip that we played is a full minute long, but the person who actually conducted the interview is Brian Enten. And he has the full characterization of what the Northport police told him for 15 minutes during that interview. So I'd like to turn it over to Brian Enten for a moment to tell you exactly what they told him. Brian, Mr. Bertolino's on with the two of us.
Hi, Ashley. Hi, Mr. Bertolino. I've been in touch with Mr. Bertolino for the last 5 or 6 weeks. So, Josh Taylor with Northport Police has said that the way he has phrased it, that they are sitting at the same table every day as the FBI, sharing information, constant communication with each other. And I was thinking back to that week when the police chief had that press conference. On that Thursday, the police chief said that he had that he knew where Brian Laundry was. But it wasn't just that Thursday. Almost every day when I interviewed Josh Taylor, I would ask him, do you know where Brian Laundry is? And he would say, yes, we know where he is. So I was just listening to your conversation between the two of you. And it's just those interviews we did, and not just us, but many outlets were doing them with the police. They were on TV every night. And it's just hard to imagine that the FBI was also watching this and you know, had this information for Mr. Bertolino, but wasn't sharing it with Northport PD.
Good evening, Brian. How are you?
Good, good. Nice to hear your voice, Mr. Bertolino.
Pleasure. I wasn't sure if it was my turn. And Brian, you know, I concur. It would be hard to believe that, right? So 2 days ago, I had a conversation with somebody in the Northport PD to clear the air on this one as well. And I offered to put myself on speaker so that brass could hear it, so that the upper echelons could hear it, that I wasn't trying to, quote, put the Northport PD under the bus when I brought this up. They told me in no uncertain terms that they had no idea that the FBI knew about this. They were completely shocked on Friday to learn that Brian wasn't in the house. So, Brian, everything you say makes sense. Absolutely everything you say makes sense. But I will tell you, it is not my responsibility to communicate between the FBI and Northport PD. I can tell you once again, as sure as I'm sitting here talking on this screen, the FBI confirmed in my office again today at 2:15, this is a non-issue for them. They have it documented that Brian was reported missing by me to them on Monday evening. My recollection was it was either Monday evening conversation or a Tuesday morning conversation, but I know that I reported it on day one. That being said, Ashley, you told me you would replay that clip. What you chose to do was bring Brian Enten in. I would ask you, respectfully, let's play the clip. Let's hear, not from Brian, let's hear from Josh Taylor once again. I can spare the
okay.
minute. We've had
40 with you, but the control room is about to play it. So control room, fire
let's
away. Let's roll.
I don't know. Let's listen.
Mr. Bertolino says that he called and reported Brian missing sooner than Friday, and that it was just the official report filed on Friday. Is that true?
I can tell you that the Northport Police Department, that when we got the call on Friday that he was being reported missing, was news to us. I was in the room myself. It was a very surprising moment. I can say that with 100% certainty. Whatever he may have said in passing, you know, this is a situation where we're trying to, you know, they were uncooperative on Saturday, not revealing any details. We've got a missing young lady. Really, their credibility was, you know, what's going on there. If I'm understanding him correctly, he says that he may have said something to someone in the FBI. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. What I know is that none of our actions and what we've said show that that's a possibility at all.
Do you see what
you
they said? Nothing that they say says
Ashley.
That it's a possibility at all. I mean, did you hear that last line, Mr. Bertolino? Nothing that we've seen says that's a possibility at all.
What he said was he may have said it in passing, and then he said, I don't know. That's what he said, Ashley. I'll take
the apology.
No, he
said it's not a possibility at all.
No, he didn't say that. Not with
regard to
Brian Enten, did he say? I think we should get Brian Enten, and he conducted the interview. He sent us the tape. We've now played it twice. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I just had a quick question for Mr. Bertolino that I was thinking about. I mean, if he was at home watching the news all week and hearing the police say that they had eyes on Brian, and the laundries were watching the news or were hearing from Mr. Bertolino that the police were saying that, but if they were worried about Brian and he was missing and, you know, they wanted him to be found, like, wouldn't you want to correct the record so that people would actually be looking for Brian?
So, Brian, we're not going to get to the bottom of this. You know, I'll get past the fact that Ashley won't concede that what was said out of Josh Taylor's own mouth was that I may have said it in passing and that he does not know. Let's move past that because the tape speaks for itself. What I will tell you, Brian, is we were not at that moment, we were not concerned that Brian, you know, had hurt himself or wasn't coming home. You know, Chris and Roberta had indicated to me that Brian had gone out camping and hiking for multiple days, many, many times. He was a young man. They weren't concerned. They thought he was clearing the air, clearing his mind. It wasn't until we got the call on Friday that there was a tip he was seen in Tampa that we were concerned.
Then why did you report it to the FBI, Mr. Bertolino? If they thought he needed to clear his mind and he's an avid hiker and camper, why were you calling or talking to them on Monday night or Tuesday morning saying, yikes, he hasn't come home? Why is it an issue?
Ashley, nobody said, yikes, he hasn't come home, Ashley. So let's
Why would you
that,
report
okay?
it to the FBI if he didn't
no,
come home,
Ashley,
if he just needed to clear his mind?
Lose the word report. I was having conversations with the FBI a couple of times a day on those few days. What I said to you was, in my conversation with the FBI, either Monday night or Tuesday morning, I mentioned to the FBI that, by the way, Brian didn't come home. as part of that conversation, I was reminded today from the FBI. He said, yes, I remember distinctly because you said to me, would you come home with all those press in front of your house?
He okay, got it.
Contacted so, the FBI, specifically
if
reminded
I can,
me of that
I want to keep you over the break. I'm losing commercial breaks, and it's a machine I can't stop. But I do want to ask you after the break about the Northport police saying that they lost him, that they just screwed up and they didn't see him leave to the reserve, which, you know, ended up with a dead man in the reserve. I want to get your reaction to that. We're back with Stephen P. Bertolino and Brian Enten after the break. All right, Mr. Bertolino, quick question. The police said that they lost your client. There was surveillance on him, and when he went off to the reserve, they didn't even notice the Mustang leaving. Does that mean that Brian Laundrie is dead because the police lost him, or is Brian Laundrie dead because Brian Laundrie did it to himself?
You know, Ashley, you can't blame the police. You can't blame the FBI. You can't blame the parents. I've had people blaming me for the last couple of weeks and specifically the last couple of days. You know, bottom line is we don't know the manner or cause of death of Brian. We can surmise. But let's take an hypothetical and say that Brian did, you know, take his own life. If that's the case, you know, that's on Brian. It's not on the parents. It's not on the FBI. It's not on the police. It's not on me. And I think we need to wait and find out exactly what happened. The parents don't blame the police. You shouldn't blame the police. And that's just wrong.
I have to squeeze in another break, and I have one final question for you. We've blown every break out in the show, so if you'll permit me, right after the break, I'll be back with our final question with Stephen P. Bertolino. Back with Mr. Bertolino, the Laundrie's lawyer. Stephen, there's a critical question here. I have 2 minutes left until the end of the show, but I must get you on the record on this. You told me at the beginning of the show that you spoke with the Laundrie family together on the 12th and the 13th of September, that's Sunday and Monday, and he went for his walk on the Monday. But if you spoke with all three of them together, there is no privilege, and you know that as a lawyer. So what did Brian say about what happened to Gabby Petito on that Sunday and that Monday before he left for the swamp?
Okay, so Ashley, if you heard what I said, I had multiple conversations with the Laundries. I had private conversations with Chris, private conversations with Brian, and I had conversations with Chris and Roberta, and I had conversations with them together. You know, I know these people. Some of parts of the conversations when they were all together had nothing to do with attorney-client privilege, and a lot.
When you
to do
were
with
together, what did
up.
He tell you? Because there's no privilege when you're all together talking. And you did say on this program that you did have conversations both days with them all together as a family meeting. What did they tell you? Because that isn't privileged.
I disagree. I think you can represent multiple clients, as you know. You can get waivers of representation, as you know.
No, you can't. You can't have that conversation in criminal proceedings, and that does mean that the privilege is waived. You can do it in real estate. And, you know, gosh, will you come back on Monday? I have 22 seconds left until the black cutoff of this program happens. But I have not finished my conversation with you, Mr. Berlinda. Would you come back Monday?
I don't think that's possible. Someone else wants me
yes,
on Monday.
Yes, it has to be.
I don't know why.
I'm calling you Monday, Mr. Berlinda. Thank you for spending the hour with us.
Have a good evening.